Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, it's Matt Bove from It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. This NFL offseason, we can fit 25 hours in a day, and that's because of podcasts that make you more productive. When you're folding laundry, paying bills, making omelets, or any other task that you've got to get done, listen while you work. Do your chores and be entertained all at the same time. It's all about the bills, the news, insight, analysis, and of course, some jokes too, on demand, so it fits into your busy schedule. Follow the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove, Dean Marlowe comes back to the Bills. He was here. In fact, Dean Marlowe predates everybody on this roster when it comes to Sean McDermott. He was with McDermott for 2 years in Carolina before McDermott got the head coaching job. That's how much Sean McDermott loves him some Dean Marlowe. And this is a guy that did a really good job when he was in a backup role for the Bills and had to fill in for Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer. Didn't go so well necessarily in Atlanta. He was actually on the wrong end of that that Hail Mary that happened last week with DJ Moore. But I mean, man, I just feel so comfortable having a guy like that back there with Jordan Poyer's injury, knowing Micah Hyde is out.
I think it's really important a couple things. Brandon Bean told us that they looked into more than 10 safeties. So the fact that they were looking into these safeties and they still went with Dean Marlowe, I don't know what the other teams were asking for those safeties, but I think they really do trust him. I think they value his leadership. I think they value his familiarity with the organization. It's also massive news that Jordan Poyer was said to be day-to-day on Wednesday when we talked to Sean McDermott.
Huge.
Brandon Bean. That's huge news because a lot of people didn't know. A lot of people were like, oh, they went and out and traded for Dean Marlowe because they think Poyer's going to be hurt. But he's not.
Bless you.
Thank you. Keep going. You go.
Yeah, so the other part of that news is, too, just from the injuries, to wrap that up, and we'll get back to Dean Marlowe. Matt Milano, also day-to-day, which is really significant because an oblique injury can be one of those things where it either can be a quick turnaround or it can be quite lengthy, but day-to-day for Matt Milano is obviously really good news.
And also, Tre'Davious White not ruled out. Maybe something will be different by the time everybody listens to this podcast, but as of Wednesday, it was a pretty emphatic no. He has not been ruled out from Sean McDermott, which I think is telling because with Tre'Davious White, there have been times when he has been ruled out early in the week.
Yeah, and going back to Dean Marlowe, the other thing this does for me, Matt, is it kind of doesn't force them to shuffle the deck, so to speak, right? You have questions about, well, would Christian Benford have to, you know, transition to safety a little bit? Would they have to use Cam Lewis a little bit more back there? They don't have to do that now with this group.
No, you now have got a stable of guys, a full stable of guys, with Jordan Poyer when he is fully healthy, Damar Hamlin. I would imagine those are still the two guys that they lean on the most. But then you've got Jaquan Johnson, you've got Dean Marlowe. So you've got some guys who have been in the system for a long time. I mean, Jaquan has been here for a long time. Dean Marlowe started games for this team a couple years ago before he left. So I just think it gives you a little bit more of an insurance policy. And for a seventh round pick, I think that is well worth it.
So the Bills had a seventh-round pick they had traded to the Carolina Panthers for Andre Smith, so they didn't have their seventh-round pick, but that actually did not go through because it was conditional, and Andre Smith is no longer on the team. Whatever the condition was, the Bills did not have to relinquish it. So they take that seventh-round pick, and they trade it for Dean Marlowe.
That's smart. That's really interesting. It's funny that it works out that way. And one other thing that I do want to mention is, because we did talk to Brandon Bean today, well, two things that I want to mention. One, they called on Christian McCaffrey. He clarified that, and I find that very interesting. I mean, he said he was there when he was in Carolina, so he's got a familiarity with him, and he would not be doing his due diligence if he did. But I think the fact that they were calling on him, he also addressed the Kamara situation. He said, I never spoke to the general manager of the Saints, but, you know, some conversations happened with other people in the organizations, whatever. And also Odell Beckham. he was asked about Odell Beckham, and if the
continues to not give a straight answer,
which is telling us something.
Right.
The fact that he was asked about if the team has interest in Odell Beckham, and he said he's a heck of a player, and if I want to get the direct quote, so let me look at it real quick because I don't want to screw this up. Do you remember exactly what he said?
I know it was something. There's a lot of factors involved. Is basically what he said. Matt's going to find it for you. Pulling out his Twitter at Matt underscore Bove, by the way.
Thank you for the plug. If we think he can help this team, we'd be crazy not to look into it. That was the quote. So when you hear him talk about the talent that Odell Beckham has, and then you hear him say that, I think it really tells me, yes, they are interested. It's got to be the right price. You know, I know the salary cap isn't real to a lot of people. They still have to be able to make it work. But I think if Odell Beckham is willing to take a deal that the Bills can make work on their books, there is a chance we could see him on this team later in the year for a playoff run to try and win a Super Bowl.
Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove, it's always game day in Buffalo. We were out of practice a little bit earlier today. We saw Nyheim Hines, like I said, didn't really take part. We did see Spencer Brown return, too. That's big news, going back to some of the injury stuff. That could really help an offensive line that I think a lot of us, you and I included, thought maybe that could be a target for a trade. But getting a guy, if they're healthy, there's really no need. But I think it's the concern of not being healthy, and Spencer Brown coming back would be big.
Also, Ike Butker, we have not seen him, but he was not ruled out for the rest of the season, which is big, because if he comes back, that's at least some veteran depth that you have in your back pocket. As far as Spencer Brown is concerned, I think if he's 100% or close, you have him play this weekend. But I also liked what we saw from Quessenberry last week. So I think that you should probably feel comfortable enough against a Jets team starting either one of those players. I think this is going to be similar to the situation we saw with the Steelers. I think they've got a lot of guys who are day-to-day. If they had to play, if this was a playoff game, if this was the Chiefs game, they probably would. I don't necessarily know if there's any rush to get the... Tre'Davious White's the perfect example. If Tre'Davious White is 100%, you put him on the field. If he's not, especially that field in New York, maybe you just go, we'll take another week. Let's get you back at home. Let's give you another week. We think we'll be okay. But if you've got a healthy Trey and he's like, hey, I'm ready to go, put me out there, I think you put him on a snap count. You let him play a couple snaps. You let him play a couple series. You lean on the other guys. Yeah, the Jets are better this year than they've been in the past, but I would think that the guys you have on the roster right now, especially with the way Zach Wilson has been playing these last couple weeks, can probably get the job done.
Yeah, they're not playing the greatest pass offense in the world. They do have, you know, some talent on that team, no doubt. The other one I was super interested in is Brandon Bean said he's not going to say that Jamison Crowder's out for the year necessarily, a little bit too early. And, you know, I'm not here to say that Jamison Crowder would be some big addition, but it's always great to have another veteran in case of emergency. If they get into the playoffs, then suddenly, hey, Jamison Crowder's healthy.
Yeah, Jamison Crowder was a weird one when he was here because he made a couple really nice plays, but I don't think he was utilized to the level that some people thought he would be. Maybe that was because Isaiah McKenzie was playing really well at that point. Khalil Shakir was starting to kind of turn a corner. So he didn't get the snaps that we thought he would get. A lot of people were just like, hey, this is going to be the replacement for Cole Beasley. This guy is going to be utilized a ton in the offense. And then he ever wasn't, and then he got hurt. So when he got hurt, a lot of people, ourselves included, were like, well, yeah, it's a loss for the Bills. He's a veteran. You could trust him, but I don't think this changes the outlook of the season. If you get him back, though, he's a guy you probably have active on your 53-man roster. You're probably playing him in a playoff game if you're in that situation. So, yeah, just an interesting thing to kind of keep on the back burner.
So before we wrap up this segment, I want to go back to you just mentioned Isaiah, and I forgot to say this earlier. Do you think the addition of Nyheim Hines is actually some sort of indictment on Isaiah McKenzie? Because listen to the way Brandon B. talked about him. Jet sweeps, can be a slot receiver. They might be able to use Khalil Shakir more on offense. Look, Isaiah hasn't been the most consistent player.
I think they can still do different things. I think there should be roles in the offense for both of them, and I think that's why it's so promising to have the option. I mean, if you put both of those guys on the field, they're not players you can just ignore, especially Nyheim. Like, Nyheim Hines has a very impressive resume, and a lot of people around the league know what that guy can do. So I think it just gives them options, and I think they really like options.